Good morning and welcome to Making a Change for Good. Good morning, Sherry.
Good morning, Ashwini.
Our assignment from yesterday. The self-hating message is that as we are, we're not enough. Enough for what? What does that mean? If you were enough, then what? Assignment. What does self-hate say you're missing? RL what you see. All right, here's our first caller. You are now live on the air. Would you please introduce yourself?
Hi, Sherry and Ashwini. It's Loren in Connecticut.
Hello, Loren. What
wow,
are you seeing?
Adrenaline of not expecting to be unmuted.
fully alive.
Fully alive, so I'm going to take a breath and see what's here. So my focus this month was to accept that ego is just everywhere, especially in the places that I care the most about.
Mm-hmm.
And so what I've been really looking at is that when I'm paying attention, as I am, because I'm trying to build a lot of practice into my life, I see the self-hate, and I see that I'm a ping pong ball, and I just see how much I have fallen for over and over. That means that there's a problem in the content area, and
mm-hmm.
It led me in the year-long retreat to pick like the same focuses again and again, because it feels like, wow, I really, really suffer here. Wow, there's a lot of confusion. There's a lot of ego here that makes me really suffer over the content. And I think I'm coming to the realization that, oh, I just see so much ego there because I care about that area of my life so much, and I'm paying attention there.
Mm-hmm. And you are enough to face that.
I guess I have been already always anyway, because when I
yep. yep.
When I was looking at content area, you know, there's some areas that like ego just comes after me so strongly. My work, my family, my relationships, sex, you know, like there's just certain areas where, and I was so relieved last week. I was in the queue and I was not wanting to be picked, because part of my focus this month was looking specifically at the area around sex. And I thought, I don't want to talk to the guide and Sangha about sex. And then someone else got put in the queue before me and did. And I was like, well, okay, someone else. But, you know, and they did.
Thank you, Sangha.
They talked about femininity and desire and you know, my job is I'm a healthcare provider in the area of sexual health, and that this has just been an area that I have cared about since I was very young, long before I knew that I was going to be a healthcare provider, and I've just always suffered so much that there's so much conditioning around it.
Mm-hmm.
But yet I've persisted, right? I picked this profession and I can't avoid this issue as a woman and all of this stuff.
So I guess.
Even though I haven't felt adequate to it, I must have been, otherwise I wouldn't have been pursuing it all these
precisely. Precisely. And the point, Loren, that you made early on about where does ego come at us in the places we care the most? So where do we suffer most? Karmic areas. What are we convinced we can't handle, can't face, can't go up against? Karmic areas where ego hides out. It's how we're controlled. Right? And so, inexorably, you have been guided to face this. And you have been facing it throughout your life.
I think a point of difficulty for me is that when I'm building, it has been a long time in my life that I've been looking at this, even before I had practice, but certainly more with practice.
Mm-hmm.
it often feels so basic. Some of the beliefs and the conditioning I uncover,
of course,
that I'm told are right or wrong or good or bad, I go, how can I, but I still feel confused about if basic things are right or wrong. And I know that that's because part of my karma is wanting so much to not be wrong and to be good and not to be of harm. And so, like, the fact that I some of the places I see, they just seem so basic that it's, that I can't believe I still don't know,
well,
if they're okay, Lorraine, or not.
Lorraine, if I may, it's time to switch horses.
Okay.
Because the question now is, am I identified with ego or am I present?
Yeah.
That's it. You've seen all of this on the karmic, how ego controls you, you know, which all of us could use to look at ourselves, right? Because that process that you laid out is how ego gets us, how karma holds us, and how we extricate ourselves from that. Now, it's not about, as you've noticed, it's not about the content.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? It's not about figuring it out or solving this. If you want to be the right person, this is a bit tongue-in-cheek, but it's also a bit accurate, then drop ego.
Yeah.
Because ego is never going to be the right person, and you identified with ego will never be the right person. So you can safely, at this point, drop that whole conversation.
Yeah, yes, I hear you. And I think what I've been practicing with this month is coming to the acceptance that I can do that. And that doesn't, ego's not going anywhere. So when I do the exercises, I still see all the conditioning there. I still see
the
triggers.
That's exactly right.
And I have to accept that I'm going to go on dropping ego, knowing that it's not, you know, that it's still there at every turn, which,
well,
has just made me feel like I'm not speaking.
And Lorraine,
wrong. Go ahead.
The thing about it is, it will be until it isn't.
Yeah.
So that if the focus turns to, am I identified? Is that an ego position? Is this ego or is this? Now you're looking in the right direction.
Yeah.
And yes, you will do that until ego has no more ability to grab you. That is the case. But you can safely drop the beliefs that you're going to figure it out through figuring out which is the right belief, which is the right behavior, which is the right... Okay.
Mm-hmm.
All right.
All right. Thank you.
You are so welcome. Now, Lorraine, don't forget to have fun, okay?
Oh, I'm having lots of fun.
Okay, good. Oh, very good, very good, very good. All right.
Yes.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thanks, Lorraine. Sherry, two things about that. One being that the karma is there for, we're born of karma, we're heir to it, and it's what's going to help us transcend, right? It's not just that we have it and it's the cause of suffering, it's also the reason that we will transcend suffering.
That's exactly right.
Yeah.
It is the adventure.
Yes. Yes.
If we want to look at it that way, right?
Mm-hmm.
We're like children playing hide and seek.
Mm. Yeah. Yeah. Well, and the point that we were making at the end about it's not content and it's not process, and the interesting place that ego gets us is what we care about, and it's once more about being right or wrong. And so the redirection of conditioning is to look at the belief to determine whether it's right or wrong, rather than what you just said, which is to recognize that looking at beliefs is still part of the ego process.
That's right.
Yeah,
that's
because
right.
It's determining it at the content level.
That's right. And so anytime, basically, it comes down to any time I'm in the head, you know, I'm noodling. I'm trying to figure it out. That's the point at which we can just say, okay, I get that, and redirect attention.
Yeah. All right, here's our next caller. You're now live on the air. Would you please introduce yourself?
Hello. Hi, this is Stefania.
Hello, Stefania. What are you seeing?
Good things. At the same time, like you said, other people said many times, every person is saying part of what I feel. Everybody is the same. Things are the same.
We are one.
Yes. It's always encouraging to hear it. So my choice for this month is it changes, but it is the same. It is accepting the present as it is, and accepting sometimes what people just say to me, instead of trying to change it or try to, again, not judge it, but trying to figure out, even to improve it. Is already a
That's
way
right.
to not accepting it.
Yeah.
So it's been challenging. And this morning, though, was about, and it comes and goes many times, and I heard the other times, accepting means, Ego was saying that accepting means not changing it, and so not improving it, and easy for you to accept things because they're fine, they're good for you, but people suffer and la la la, so I stopped that.
Very good.
I took a breath. Yeah. I did the recording, but that's, I think, the thing that comes back so many times. So for that moment was okay, but it comes back so many times.
Yes.
Yeah.
Well, Stefania, here's the when you were laying that out, what dropped in was the old Zen story that the capping line is that so? Is that so? And what that says is, I accept that I don't know. I accept that I don't have the big picture. I accept that as this little note of intelligence, I don't have a broad enough view to actually grasp what is going on. And in that, there is, in that acceptance, there is a freedom not to engage with conditioned mind. So, somebody says something to me, and ego reacts, how dare they, or I don't like that, or that's so painful, or whatever it is that happens.
Yeah.
And from center, the response is that so? What I'm accepting is, I don't know what was motivating them. I don't know what they meant by that. I don't know why they said that. I suspect it didn't have anything to do with me. I don't need to take that on. I don't need to get involved in that. I don't know anything about that. That's none of my business. And then I can just be right here, right now.
Yes. Okay. So
it's a very different acceptance, isn't it? So I'm not accepting, oh, well, she said that to me, and she said it because she knows that would hurt my feelings and upset me, and that's the reason. And so if I accept that, I'm just rolling over, being a doormat, just take all that ego nonsense is what we're letting go. I don't know.
Yes, okay. In relationship, I can grasp that part. Like relationship with people. Now, when we're looking at the big picture of you know, nation or country or big problem thing, how can I also do the same thing there? Or how can I?
Because Stefania, there we really don't know. We can get very quickly to, we really don't know. We don't know what's going on. We don't know everything that has led up to this. We don't know how it's going to play out. We really don't know. And that's a kind of a shorthand for getting it that if you have a belief system that includes a God, then one of the things we can quickly get to is, I'm not God. If there is a big picture in this, I'm pretty clear, I don't have it.
And in the action that we can take, though, like, again, try not to take it personally, basically, accept the fact that I'm not God and I cannot fix the world. At the same time, I'm acting and I'm doing things every day, and I do make small choices every day.
Yes. So here's just a little example possibly to play with. Okay, you encounter someone who is hungry.
Mm-hmm.
Now, ego would rail against capitalism and selfishness and people who don't care, blah, 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 blah.
Yeah, yeah.
Or you could get the person something to eat.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Okay, yeah. So just in that place of, what is your heart guiding you to offer in this moment?
Mm.
What is the participation from your heart?
Mm-hmm.
Not going off with ego to be concerned about things that that we can never know anything about.
Mm. And like you said, right. Like you said many times, I want to say, is just do it now and then next instead of...
That's right.
Doodling.
That's right. What now?
Yeah.
What now? What now? What now?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Thank
because
you.
I have a fairly high opinion of my perceptiveness, and I am deeply grateful I'm not in charge of the world.
Yeah.
This little world that I inhabit, is plenty for me, mm-hmm. and that is the moment by moment by moment by moment moving through the day.
Mm-hmm.
That's plenty. I being in charge of anything or anyone else,
yes. Okay.
All right. Thank you, Stefania.
Thank you.
Go happy.
Thanks, Stefania. It's such a big conversation, right, Cherry, that acceptance does not mean condoning or resignation or no change. And that
That's
basically
right.
is something that we've got to come to terms, I mean, not come to terms with, but through the process of awareness, realize that those two are not related.
That's it, exactly. And the word that you just said, Ashwini, change, there mm-hmm. is change.
Mm-hmm.
I'm changing.
Mm-hmm.
I'm changing. In every moment that I'm present, see how ego, karma, self-hate can grab and hold me. I drop that. I come back to present. I'm changed.
Mm-hmm. And that's really what we've been looking at so much around world events and The Kill a Mockingbird is how much we're changed by circumstances rather than trying to change the world. Which is such a separate point of view. Whatever that means to us from an ego place, right? There's a very mm-hmm. distinct experience of moving from acceptance versus moving from separation.
Yes, and with that focus on everything that happens is a gift to me. It's all an opportunity to see how suffering happens and mm-hmm. and to drop that.
Mm-hmm.
Then... we don't want to change anything, and we begin to suspect that that is the possibility for each and every one of us.
Mm-hmm. And that the
that
only
we're
thing.
All...
Go ahead. Sorry.
Oh, go ahead.
No.
Well, that we're all having the life experience that egocentric karmic conditioning has brought us to, and the way out of it. Is to see that, drop it, let it go, and choose unconditional love for each and every person.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's the only choice we actually have is to drop the suffering. That's the change.
Yes.
Yeah.
Precisely, because content, as we've established, is irrelevant.
yeah. All right, here's our next caller. You are now live on the air. Would you please introduce yourself?
Oh, yes. I think I'm unmuted.
Yes, you will.
Phil.
By golly. Hey,
Phil.
Yes, Phil.
Hi. Oh, well, this is so good. I was just thinking, well, you know, how am I right now? I'm just so happy and in love with these conversations. I mean, it's so fun to talk about practice and see everybody
practicing. Isn't it, Phil? And there are
so few places
in the world where we can have these conversations. We're so lucky to have each other.
We are so lucky. I mean, you know, and it's more than we can say how lucky we are. And I love, you know, I love just going through this program, the way we do it, you know, every month with every month. It's just great because you think it's going to be the same answer or something, but it's always different. And this not enough one is so interesting to me because, you know, it just seems like one of the bottom line core pieces of conditioning, and what I'm seeing is, you know, as time has gone on, is that, you know, there's the starts out, you know, maybe years ago, maybe not enough time, not enough this, not enough that, and possibly there still is not enough of that, but that's not what I suffer over, if you want to call it that, the most. It would be kind of like what we're talking about now, you know, not enough, not good enough, or not
not
good,
right
person. Yeah, that's what conditioning wants to talk about. That's what it would put down. And but the fun thing that I go ahead.
May I interrupt you just right there? Because the fascinating part about that is, and you said it just a minute ago, that it's the kind of the bottom line foundation of something wrong.
It is.
That's how it can. There's something wrong with you, right? There's something missing and lacking in you, and that's why there are all of these issues and problems. Right, so to see how those two go together, as you're describing, is key to the whole thing, right? Because if you are in fact enough, I like that phrasing with Loren. You know, if you are enough to face everything in your life, then there can't be anything wrong. So it's got to try to hold us in that you're not enough. There's not enough.
Exactly. It has to, because otherwise, you know, I mean, because that, you know, there's that kind of not enough business is like, I mean, what are you going to do about that? I mean,
that's right.
And
you're inadequate. You're inadequate, and now there's this.
Yeah, so it's like, you know, what you said another phrase, but it's that same idea of, you know, maybe yes, maybe no. Well, but this time it's usually always maybe. It's no maybe. It's just not true. And the fun part for me is every time when I get to the bottom of this one. It always comes like a new, is the projection of it. It's like, well, yes, ego, you are not enough.
That's right. You are inadequate. Good point. Good point. Let's get back to the present so that you don't have to struggle with that anymore.
Right, because this is all, you know, made up by ego, and it's a projection onto say me, well, since we already know we are the authentic, we are authentic nature, it's obviously, number one, not true, and number two, it's just talking about itself.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Oh, projection. It's so big, mm-hmm. isn't it?
It is.
Yeah, it is so big and everything. All right. Well, that's wonderful. Thank you for that, Phil.
Well, thank you.
Before I let you go, I want to go back to one thing that we said early on, because all of us, I project, all of us know really good, kind-hearted, loving people who are truly doing the best that they can do, and we mm-hmm. would acknowledge that and support it and all of that, mm-hmm. but we still can't have these conversations with them.
Exactly. Right? You're right.
And so to have a group of people where we can say all of these things in a language, admittedly, in a language that we can all understand and feel understood, right? Mm-hmm. And also be supported in taking these admittedly kind of esoteric steps toward peace and freedom. It is quite miraculous.
It is quite miraculous.
Mm-hmm.
Yes, it is. Yeah. And this morning I'm saying, I'm doing my recording. It's like, I'll just be the love of this and that. Everyone I see, and then I thought, well, I might be the only one I see today. Oh, well, I can still do.
That's right. Well,
I'll just be
you
it.
You can benefit from love. Yeah.
Exactly. Yeah. So, and that's
love.
Why I was so happy at this, in the beginning, yeah. just to hear these conversations.
Yeah.
So thank you
yeah.
so much, you and Ashwini and
you,
all
Bill.
Of Sangha. Yeah, right.
Yeah.
All right.
Bye-bye.
Okay. Bye.
Thanks, Phil. Homage to the Sangha, Sherry. And we're at that.
Homage to the Sangha.
At that very nebulous time where we may or may not have time for another caller. So how about I just read our assignment instead of going over?
Oh, okay. Okay, sure. Okay, thank you.
So our assignment for today.
I want to say something else.
Okay.
If we have time. Okay, and it has to do with the conversation that we just had with Phil. And that is, many who have been around for a long time know, I tell the story of for years driving back and forth between the monastery and the Bay Area late at night in my little Toyota, I think it was a Tercel. And the only thing that was available for those drives back and forth was AM radio, and most of it was religious programs, Christian ministers, right? And I loved it. It was just kind of the highlight for me, making those drives and listening to these mostly guys, right, preach. And what I would do is translate, right? Just, yes, they're saying that. Oh, that's what they mean by that. Yes, I can see that. I can see how, right? And it was so much fun to do. And to me, that's one of the things that happens as we have these kinds of conversations. We have a growing sense that it's not, yes, this is how we talk about it, but everybody who is really looking, everybody in a practice or process of awakening or choosing unconditional love is doing the same process. And they have their own language for it. And so to be in that place so that we can have lots of conversations with lots of people as we do the translating into the way we would express that.
Mm-hmm. Well, and I think what you're saying is also that place of looking for the connections rather
yes.
than the separation, right? So looking
That's
with the
it.
Eyes of love, the work that we do, we could always find a way to connect if we're not looking
exactly.
to what separates.
That's exactly it. Yeah, that's exactly it. Looking for the oneness.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's beautiful.
All right. Thank you, Sherry. And here's our assignment. Self-hate negates what we are by focusing the attention on what we're not. I'm talked into identifying with what's wrong with me. I'm told that I have to meet standards that fix or change me, that make me better, the way I should be to be acceptable and lovable. Yet meeting those standards doesn't get me the approval or acceptance or love that I've assumed I will receive if I met the standards. This whole orientation misses the point. What we're being conned into believing is that our inherent goodness is conditional, that authentic nature is dependent upon performance. So attention is taken away from the perfection of authentic nature and turned to an ego-maintaining, dualistic conversation that causes us to believe our acceptance is conditional. Assignment. Make a recording that allows you to be in touch with the perfection of the true nature that is you. Listen to this recording as a way of training to stay with the realization of true nature rather than falling for the negation of the self-hating conversation.
All right.
All right.
Here we go.
Thank you, Sherry. Thank you, everybody.
Thank you, Ashwini. Thanks,
go
everybody.
Happy.
Go happy.